B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know, I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, what's up, Zoe? How are you doing?
Good.
We're going to start with today. How about some baseball? Sure.
There you go. There's those real feelings on the matter.
Hi, Hardy. How are you feeling today?
Were they hidden up until this point? Was he somehow presenting a charade
like
that
a
we
joke.
All believed he cared about baseball?
It's like a joke. What's in a rice ball?
Rice.
Well, here's the latest on the Red Sox.
They've discussed a trade involving Mookie Betts with the San Diego Padres.
Okay.
That, according to The Athletic, Mookie Betts to San Diego for Will Myers and prospects. Oh, boy. This is just the latest Mookie Betts trade rumor since the offseason started. And obviously with a new guy in charge in Heim Bloom, he is the one that's dealing with this. Will Myers, who's going to be 29 years old, who is a career 250 hitter, Will Myers plus some prospects. Does that get you excited about trading Mookie Betts? Does that get you excited for the baseball season? Does that give you even more confidence? Does it give you any confidence in the Red Sox to be the best version of themselves in 2020 and beyond?
No, it makes me want to tune out. You're taking away another
this
superstar.
This is the type of move.
Are you trying to start a fight?
Of course not. This is the type of move.
Get rid of all your stars.
That can make you hate your team.
Well, what are the odds that Mookie Betts goes somewhere else and performs well?
What are the odds that he goes somewhere else?
Oh, you mean is it just good because of the cheating?
Yeah, I don't think that's
people
the case.
People are saying that, and I've heard that too.
Okay, well, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of that. But the people who wear the footy pajamas for various teams around here are getting tougher to find when it comes to the Red Sox. Like, go out there and find the person who will stand on the wall with the Red Sox and defend every move they make, from John Henry to Chaim Bloom, I guess, if you have anything to base that off of so far, and Sam Kennedy and Tom Werner and what the manager was doing. There's been obviously a changeover in manager here in the last couple of years. And while everybody loved the World Series in 2018, I don't think there's a whole lot of in John, Tom, and Chaim we trust. That doesn't exist, and for good reason. As configured as they are now, this is the first major decision they're going to have to come to, because firing Alex Cora was made for them. Major League Baseball apparently is going to make that decision for them once they suspend him for a year or two. So when it comes to this first big one, you're going to essentially not play ball with the best player on your team. I don't know how you sell that. I don't know what trade you make, what plans you have. I don't know how you make that work.
Yeah, you're not
from
Tampa.
A PR standpoint.
Yeah, you're not Tampa. You're not a small market team anymore. I mean, you're a top two team, not only in the American League, but maybe in all in baseball. The type of money that you play, what you've done to this park, what you've built to this point, the championships you've won. You look at the Patriots, granted, we've been lucky. We've had Brady for two decades. So, there's your superstar. You look at the Celtics. Shoot, they tried to get Kyrie Irving, but at least they're getting other players in, and maybe Jason Tatum could be that guy. Yeah, look at the Bruins. How long have we had Patrice Bergeron? We can't even throw Chara in there. Like, you've had big-time guys. Red Sox. Some of those guys come and go, but you got a chance to hang on to one here. One guy for like an 8-year span and a damn good one at it. And then you build around him. Like, is it really Benintendi? Bogart's a nice player. Don't get me wrong. And I know you like Bogarts.
Love him.
But I don't think Bogarts holds that cachet that those other stars do.
He's a great player.
I'm just saying, Bogarts, when you look at Bogarts, I don't think people view him the way people look at Bergeron or Brady or maybe a Kyrie when he's right or Jason Tatum.
I don't think people look at anybody on the Red Sox that way. So I think you're sort of searching.
Though.
You're searching for a comp.
Yeah, I want an Ortiz fill back.
To David Ortiz or Tom Brady or Patrice Bergeron. I don't think you have that yet on the Red Sox. I think Bogarts is inching toward that, but I don't think they have that right now. I don't think that guy exists on their roster. So that takes time. That doesn't happen overnight. Recent talks, according to this story in The Athletic by Dennis Lynn, recent talks between the teams have focused on sending a significant amount of prospect talent and outfielder Will Myers to Boston, according to sources. Multiple people familiar with the discussions characterize an agreement as unlikely. Thank God. And the industry consensus is that Betts will be in a Red Sox uniform on opening day. Also, thank God. It says, yet both sides appear to have legitimate interest. The Padres have sought for more than a year to move the remainder of Myers' contract. Okay, before I tell you what's remaining on it, let me tell you this. Last year, he batted 239. For those of you who are more advanced in your statistical work and you like war, he was a minus 0.3.
Good grief.
That means he is not even equivalent to the 4A replacement player. He's a minor leaguer, is what he is. Batted 239 last year.
What's his contract?
He has, remaining on his deal, $61 million left over the next three seasons. Betts, meanwhile, over the last three seasons, has been worth more wins above replacement than any player other than Mike Trout. And even at a salary of $27 million, the 27-year-old is rightly considered a bargain. Thus, his presence would substantially raise San Diego's chances of ending its playoff drought while guaranteeing rare excitement, if only for one season. Rare excitement. They're going to get excited out there.
Well, he's only 13.8 against the CBT, though. That's his AAV.
That's nice.
If that gives any insight into what the Red Sox are thinking, maybe they'll spend the money, but if it's going to keep the CBT lower, maybe. I don't know. So, I don't like the player, but I'm saying if it gives you any insight into what they're looking to do.
It reduces it by $6 million is what it does. 27 to whatever it is. Maybe it's 7. I don't know what the exact money is.
Well, Mookie Betts would make what? He would be making, what did he sign?
27. 27. Yes.
Arbitration
so
was 27.
It's half.
20.33. Yes.
No, it's half of it. It's 13.8. Yeah. That's the CBT value. Because when he signed his deal, they have a lot of cash to pay to Will Myers, but the collective bargaining tax is only 13.8, like the average annual value.
Oh, got
it. You get what I'm saying? So maybe that gives insight into what they're looking to do. Maybe they're not looking to spend less. Maybe they're looking to get the cap less. Or there's no cap, but you know what I mean.
They're getting under the 208 by way of they're paying $20 million out, $20-plus million to Will Myers, but the CBT number is 13.8.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying the player's good. I'm just saying maybe it gives you insight into what Chaim Bloom's looking to do. Maybe he's not looking at salary. Maybe he's looking at CBT value, average annual value. Way too nerdy for Football Friday, but...
Yeah. Welcome to the new age. It'll be fun to watch him bring these type of players in.
It's a thing to remember. CBT, not based on the actual cash out. It's based on the average annual value in the deal. So it's 13.8 is his number. Great. Can't wait. Get a minor leaguer for $20 million that you still have to pay in real money.
Get half the player for half the price.
Oh my God.
Yeah. What is it? Good value.
And they sit there and they look at it and they discuss it like it's a real thing.
Well, it's one of his babies. He was a Tampa guy. Will Myers.
Well, when the baseball stinks, just think about it. When you're there, the sausage and the peppers, you know, the beers. The little peanuts crackling under your feet as you walk, you know, the smell of hot dogs at the ballpark, that'll all be more important again. You take all that in, enjoy that. Stop and smell the roses over there.
I think there might be one reason why someone could make a case that trading Mookie right now is more important than ever. It's actually outlined in this story and others why the Red Sox might be super motivated to cash in and get the draft picks. It's, of course, related to their investigation with baseball. We'll talk about that because guess what? I don't think the Red Sox will be able to use that as an excuse right now. I'll tell you why. There's a new report about what they expect to come down from baseball. We'll do that coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand. Midday on 98.5 Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
So and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We might hear this down there. Timmy T, right? That's a band that looks like Stevie D.A. B. Stevie B?
Not Timmy T. Stevie B.
Who's the other one? Tommy T.
Don't know.
Timmy T. Stevie B. Looks like D.A. driving a convertible.
Yeah, I am up.
Choppers. Oh, God. We're going to see him down there, aren't we?
D.A.?
Hello there. Welcome to the mornings. Step right up and put your feet here.
I would say he's omnipresent down there.
Yes, sir.
You can't avoid him.
He was a prick last year.
He's just sort of always there.
He just went right by me. No small talk.
He doesn't like us anymore.
No, he can't he stand us.
Nothing to do with us. No. Nope.
Stupid poing and ping.
Mario coins.
Yeah. What's your compete level?
Anyway.
Show up every day and work. How was that? What, do you show up less every day, D.A.? What's your compete level?
Get it all out. Get it all out, Zoe. Let's do this.
I might scream at him down there. I'm going to have a confrontation with him.
Okay. No. It's all good. Please.
You got my back.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it.
Hardy will just walk around.
Hardy will just be like, I'm not dealing with you,
Hardy's
idiots.
Like, why do you do this?
He'll walk away from us. Last night, NBC Sports Boston, Lou Maloney was on Arbella Early Edition and said this. The Red Sox believe they will get off scot-free in their investigation from Major League Baseball. Of course, Alex Cora has been fired, but he also suggested that Alex Cora could be back in 2021. So what you do is you don't even name the manager. You go into spring training if you have to, whenever this investigation is over. Renicky runs the team. Veritek has more responsibility in camp. And when the report comes out, and if it's what they believe it is, that they're clean, then Renicky's the manager. Text the bench coach, and you go from there with no promises of the future, and you just say, this is the way to go. I think that's the easiest transition for everyone in that locker room. Went on to say, I'm hearing that they believe they are going to get off scot-free. They believe that what they're told is true and that they didn't do anything. And if they didn't do anything, there's no reason for punishment. Oh, here we go. We knew it. We called this from the very beginning. The Red Sox are going to claim they did nothing. That there is nothing to see here.
Reserve judgment.
Reserve your judgment. It'll all come out in the end. They are going to defend the wall is what they're going to do. Here they go. They are going to say they did nothing wrong. Alex Cora, who we believe by his own admission to baseball and to his bosses here in Boston, set up special monitors, was monitoring signals, was banging the trash can. All of these things that were going on in Houston in 2017, all of the tricks that were put in play, the special monitor, the texting from the back room, all of this went completely away. There was not a trace of it to be found in Boston in 2018. That's what they're going to sell us. That he just wised up and said, no, we won't do this anymore. A notorious sign stealer, a guy who loves to steal signs and loves this element of the game. No, had none of that happened. None of that was going on in Boston in 2018. There shall be no punishment for the Red Sox. We did nothing wrong. And so it begins. And so it starts now. So if this is true.
Boy, that's right? A big waste of time last week, huh?
Don't you dare defend the Red Sox by saying they should trade Mookie Betts because they're going to need the draft picks. They're going to need the prospects to make up for the loss of draft picks.
That's a good point.
If you are on Team Red Sox on this.
Yeah, scot-free.
Well, they're getting off scot-free. They're getting off scot-free. They're not going to get punished. They did nothing wrong. If they did nothing wrong, why do they need to so desperately trade Mookie Betts to restock? They have draft picks coming up like every other team.
They're going to demand an apology. I want an apology.
Oh, please. Please do. That'll be their next step. So that doesn't really fly. How about this, though? They're going to bring Cora back in 2021. Isn't he fired? Like, isn't he gone? They're going to have to rehire him now?
Why would you do that?
Doesn't that feel like they're going to just waste the season?
Yeah. Yeah, you lose time. Your window. You lose your window. Everything about your team and what you built. Yeah.
How dysfunctional is this year going to be? You've got a manager who doesn't know if he's the manager. You've got a bench coach who doesn't know what his role will be beyond this. Like,
well, I think you assume it, though, right? I mean, the Patriots have operated without having certain coaches and job titles, and they have functioned well as units, but not as like a head coach. Head coach is a big one.
Sort of a different thing.
Yeah.
It feels like they're going to punt on the season.
Yeah.
And I feel as if
it's almost like they want to fast forward, skip, jump.
Yeah,
ahead.
And this is how I feel. You know, I think that they do want to clear the salary off the books. They do want to bring the salary down. And Chaim Bloom even had comments that in recent days that because it's late in the season, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter that it's late in the offseason that they could still clear money. And he said, don't read anything into this about what we're going to do. But when it comes to lowering payroll or changing the roster, that you can do it later in the offseason. It was all part of some of his comments after, you know, these reports came out about the possibility of the trade of Mookie Betts going to San Diego. So I feel like they want to reduce their payroll. I feel like they want to make trades. And on top of all this, when they do it and the team is worse because of it, they're going to like use this as sort of their excuse. I can feel it now. The season was a mess. Because we didn't have a manager. We had Veritek as the bench coach. I can see it now. I can see their excuses already lining up. It was a dysfunctional year, and if they did nothing wrong, why don't we just prepare for them to also blame Major League Baseball for all of it? Blame baseball. Go ahead. Say Major League Baseball is what caused all of this. It just feels like that's about to happen. I don't feel good about where this Red Sox team is going. I don't know how anybody could. I really don't. Blair's in Maine. He wants to trade Mookie. Blair.
What's going on? I feel that if Mookie Betts goes to San Diego, that would be a great fit for San Diego. Mm. And what? If Mookie Betts goes there, it'd be a great fit. We need like a player like Will Myers. How about like Mike Trout to the Red Sox? Yeah. That'd be great. That'd make it even better if we get rid of if really Mookie Betts wants to go to San Diego, we get like Mike Trout
or Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Trout and Judge.
Yeah,
put him on the roster.
How about Harper? He wouldn't fit here.
Yes.
It's Friday. Yes. This is Friday, man.
Yes.
It's the death zone. Friday. For the weekend.
But they need a guy like Will Myers. Again, hey, Will Myers, who is rumored in this deal, that apparently, according to Dennis Lind of The Athletic, isn't really going to happen. But the talk surrounded Will Myers and Mookie Betts. Will Myers plus unnamed prospects at this point in time. Will Myers, who had the negative war last year, who had the .239 batting average last year, and Will Myers, who has 3 years and $61 million left on his deal. Much like the move we talked about the other day when Boston College went and got UMass's defensive coordinator, right? When you've got a chance to get that guy...
Really step up.
And like double his salary. You got to do it, right? When you have a chance to get a Will Myers to... And the price is only one of the best players in baseball to do it. I think you got to pull the trigger on that.
Sure.
Don't you?
Sky's the limit.
No, you got to do that deal.
One of the many players that's gotten paid and stopped performing.
Yeah.
Will Myers.
You got to get in on it while the money's hot.
Yeah. I wonder what other performing things were stopped once he got his money, like many in the sport. Got my money. No longer need the drugs. It happens so many times. Will Myers. When did he get his deal, Jim? Do you know the year? Was it after the All-Star year?
3 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
It was a six-year deal.
Yeah, so he was an All-Star in 2016. And then he got that deal. I'd like to do a combination of stats over the 3 years so far in this deal. Yep, let's see. Since he signed that deal, he's batted .244 with an OPS of .768.
Jackie Bradley-like.
That's what he's done. Tremendous guy. It's three more years and $60 million. Man, baseball is good. Baseball does pay well.
I'd pair him and Bradley up together. That'd be a good spot in a row, in the batting order. Put those two guys next to each other. That'll get you some action, get some runners on base.
They get the people going. 617-779-0985. You want to talk some baseball, it's in the mix today. Mookie Betts, the latest Mookie Betts rumor. I don't want them to trade Mookie Betts. The latest on the Red Sox investigation, they're going to get off scot-free. Do they really believe that?
I think they do. They might.
Really?
Maybe. I mean, that's what Mike Francesa said. He was sitting there looking right in the dugout, like 4 feet away. He didn't see nothing.
Wishful thinking at best. There's no way they think that's what's going to happen. There's no way. They can't.
Scot-free. We did nothing wrong. We did nothing wrong. We should not be punished by baseball because we didn't do anything.
Do we have to show you all the emails?
Phil Perry's got a story about the free agency of Tom Brady.
Electronic mails.
Comparing it to one of Tom Brady's good friends when he hit free agency here in New England. We'll get to that story coming up next. The Super Bowl prop bets. Also, Drew Bledsoe today. Drew's going to join us at noontime today. He's got a special coming up this weekend that we'll tell you more about. Here's Hardy with headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
First, our introduction.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, my God.
What?
It's the last thing we need to hear.
What is it?
My sister's going to go nuts. Positive case of the coronavirus in Chicago. We're getting on planes this weekend.
I caught that coronavirus day after Cinco de Mayo a couple of times in my life. You know what I'm saying? Psst. Hey.
Ugly.
I mean, it was only a matter of time, right?
This spread pretty quick.
Here's what you here's what you don't want to watch, especially at times like this.
It's like the new
Google.
SARS.
That movie Contagion. I saw part of it a week or two ago, the Matt Damon one.
Oh,
that movie will scare the ever-loving crap out of
there's
you.
There's a better one. What's the one with Dustin Hoffman?
The Outbreak.
Outbreak.
That's not better. It's not a better movie. With Cuba Gooding Jr. Flying the helicopter around trying to shoot the monkey? No, that's not... Not a better
one. It was. The monkey brought it.
Right. It's not a superior film. Contagion is a better movie. It's scary, though. I wouldn't watch that. Not with this coronavirus. Is that what it's called?
Corona.
Yeah. Corona.
Like the beer. Good. Thanks. All right.
Yeah, we're all set.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
Wear your
Appreciate
masks.
It. Yeah. Let's get to.
I actually saw people with half the plane had masks on. It was like weird. Like, wow, maybe I should have one on.
Good. Put one on. Wear it this weekend.
Wear my helmet.
Great. Phil Perry has this, NBCSportsBoston.com. He says, there's a chance that Tom Brady's free agent tour could end up resembling Wes Welker's, more so than Dante Hightower's or Devin McCourty's. To explain that sentence for those who don't remember, when Dante Hightower became a free agent, he took visits elsewhere, notably the New York Jets and Pittsburgh Steelers. He then circled back to the Patriots and ended up back with the Patriots. Devin McCourty, similar thing. Went elsewhere, looked at other spots. I think Philadelphia may have been one of those places. Baltimore was one of those places. Do I remember? Do I have that right, Zoe?
Yes. Yes. Could have made more.
I thought maybe there were.
Devin actually could have made more money, came back for less.
So he is someone who went out, tested the market, tested the waters, may have had the opportunity to earn more elsewhere, and eventually turned around and came back to New England, where they did pay him well. They gave him a very good contract. Maybe it wasn't every last penny that he could have had on the market, but it was definitely a market-setting type of deal. Mm-hmm. So the Patriots did sort of pay Devin McCourty. Dante Hightower, I feel like Dante Hightower got a good deal here too.
He really did.
So what Phil's saying, though, is the difference between those two and Wes Welker is Welker went out to the market and it was pretty much over. On day one of free agency back in 2013, as Phil writes, Welker fielded offers around the league. He had an opportunity to see what his market was for the first time since being traded to New England in 2007. He was one of the league's most productive receivers. That was his right. But the Patriots had to prepare. They didn't want to go into the next season without a sure thing at one of the most important positions in their offense. They signed Danny Amendola as soon as free agency began, unwilling to wait around on Welker.
Right.
Potentially missing out on other free agent slot receiver options in the process, only for him to choose someone else. Then Welker signed for 2 years and $12 million, I believe was the contract with Denver, and we all sat there and looked at it and said, they couldn't bring him back for 2 years and $12 million? Are you kidding me? That was our reaction. But what had happened was they had just decided they didn't want him anymore. Right. They were done.
Yep.
Okay, go test the market. We're not going to be left empty-handed. We're going to go get Danny Amendola. And they tried to make it look like they were trying to bring back Wes. And we didn't believe it at the time, and I still don't believe it to
be true. Robert saying he could have actually made more guaranteed money here if he stayed here in that first year.
They blame the agent. Remember that? Blame bad agents.
How do you get ahead of this situation where you let Wes go, a prime position in your offense, high productive one, but you quickly had it ready to go because you knew Danny Amendola was going to sign here. But yet you let the greatest tight end have the decision to walk and you never address it. You didn't address it at all. And it killed you this year. That tight end position killed you.
It's different than a free agent, though.
I understand
that. In
that
a retired player is still under contract.
But you still have to have the mindset.
Back. You can't tell the guy to go somewhere else.
What are the chances, really, of the guy coming back? Yeah, this guy here next to me said the guy's damn retired. He said you're retired.
I don't know. You're the guy that
I forever thought he's coming back.
Forever said he was coming back. And then when he did say he was not coming back, you kept telling us he still is.
I say that because.
So you're going to blame the team?
You say
that's sort of hypocritical.
I'm saying it because how the position was vacated and how it was never addressed that. Okay.
No press conference.
They've got to have him coming back.
No press conference. He has to be coming back.
That's what it comes down to with you. There's never a press conference.
I want a press conference. Just some finale.
I'm pretty sure that Zoe can't criticize the Patriots on this because you thought he was coming back. So how could you think that they were wrong to think that he was coming back?
Yeah,
you told us he'd be back by week 11.
You got burned.
He was going to be back.
I got burned. They got burned.
Okay, so then if you feel that way, then they didn't do anything wrong. They didn't handle that wrong.
Don't go to his party.
Right?
If they were paying attention, they shouldn't have been burned.
I would sort of agree with that, though, but I think it's difficult to be in the team's position there because you don't know and the player's not telling you and you're sitting there going, well, I can't force you to retire. I can't force you out, free up your money, and then go spend it. Because you could turn around 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now and say, actually, no, I'm in. I'm coming back. And so you're in a tough spot as a team when that happens. But here's what they could have done, Hardy. They could have spent money at receiver, and they chose not to. Or they tried to, and they were too late. Adam Humphries being the best example of that. So tight end, they took a step back. I would also criticize them for the depth of tight end not being very strong. Okay, you're not going to replace Rob Gronkowski. You're not going to find the next guy that looks like him. That's a once-in-a-generation type of tight end.
But have some kind of plan beyond getting Ben Watson here or Matt Lacoste. Yeah. Have something.
The depth was not good.
The depth, right?
And so a lot of people say, why didn't you get Jared Cook? Why didn't? Well, you know what? That, to me, is a little bit difficult to pull off because Gronk could have turned around and said, after they spent, I don't know, what Jared Cook go for, like $10 million a year or something? If you go out and sign him on day one, you're aggressive and you get Jared Cook. And then Gronk says, actually, guys, I'm not retiring. Well, great. Now you've got two good tight ends, but also you've got a boatload of money tied up in the position.
Yeah.
And it was not your choice because you just wanted to be prepared for it. Whereas if you had done it at receiver, where you then did it later on with Antonio Brown, why didn't you just do that in March when you had your pick of the guys? Like, again, Adam Humphries was the guy they targeted, but they were too late. They were not aggressive on that front. So the tight end one is hard. And now we're getting sidetracked because this is about Welker and about how he left. And could that same thing happen with Brady? And I'll go back to a point that we made yesterday. Only if they're anxious and eager to get a free agent quarterback. March doesn't matter for the Patriots or any other team when it comes to finding the quarterback unless they plan on finding that quarterback in the free agent market.
Would it make sense for them to allow him hit free agency and then get into dealings with him after that starts? Meaning, we've already accelerated to 13 and a half million, so we already got to start there. So like, oh crap, we didn't get this done a month ago. Like, then there's more money on the deal. Like, if this thing goes to free agency, I don't think he's coming back. You know what I mean? If he technically goes to free agency, I think he's gone. I don't think you're getting him back. Now you're tacking on another $14 million. If he wants 25, keep going. There's your cap hit. Screwed yourself. It's a lot of money. Some dead money right there.
Well, he hasn't screwed himself. Not him. He always has the option to take a lot less in return.
Sure.
But he can still go to the market and see what is out there. He can still go check it out and say, well, now I know. He'll at least know what it is he's turning down and know what the discount is, as opposed to just saying I'm staying and, you know, I'll take less and let's win and all that stuff. I mean, if they're not out there looking to sign a quarterback on day one, then I don't know that replacing the quarterback is the big factor. I will say this, though. Actually, I'll save this for the other side because I think there is something that they might want to know about, why they'd want to know about Brady earlier than later. And also Super Bowl prop bets. Yeah. The latest on the prop bets. Every day we're going through some of them. We'll do it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Quickly to follow up on that point. I can see how the Patriots want to know if Brady's going to be here or not based on their desire to go out and spend in free agency. They're going to Jared Stidham. They want to surround him with guys. And Brady's not here. They'll have the money to do it. Could free up a couple more marquee big names coming here in free agency. Just saying, that might be one reason why they want to know. It's not necessarily tied to who his replacement is. But if it's tied to the replacement, that means they're going out there and signing a free agent, which could be good if it's like Teddy Bridgewater, and it could be horrible if it's someone like, I don't know, Jameis Winston or any of those backup bums that are on that list. So
Andy Dalton.
Oh, brutal. The worst. Andy Dalton. Puke. Gross. Anyway, let's get back to the prop bet, shall we?
Yeah.
Music, please. Yes.
Music.
Music. Music. Thank you. Today we have broadcast props.
Ooh.
All broadcast props are from kickoff until the final whistle. Halftime does not count toward your wager. Will Troy Aikman or Joe Buck speak in Spanish? Yes or no?
Buck will, Aikman will not.
I'm with you. I am in lockstep with Scott Zolak on this.
Joe Buck is already pre-thinking this thing right now. He's going to bring you in Spanish.
The yes is plus 500.
I'll tell you this.
I'm liking this one.
And that's either one. That's not for each of them, right? That's
right.
Just for either one.
Either one. If either one utters a Spanish phrase in the course of this broadcast.
Because it's in Miami?
Miami.
This is cash, cash, cash. Money will cash out. Because this is what play-by-play guys do. Jim, I want you to bring up the open of the Patriot-Raider game that took place in Mexico City when we signed on.
Okay, but that's Mexico. This is still a city in the United States.
This is a hotbed down there, though. Hotbed. A lot of flavor.
I don't know, man. I say talk American.
Oh, man. I don't know how Buck would resist himself. He's gonna get caught up in the week. He will get caught up in the week. I'm with you, Beetle. I say Joe Buck does. Troy Aikman does not.
Plus 500 on the yes, minus 1,000 on no.
That's what play-by-play guys do.
I'm going with yes.
Bienvenidos al Estadio Azteca en la Ciudad de México. And hello again, everyone. Oh, a very God. Pleasant good afternoon.
Did you hear me? I had no clue it was coming.
That was unfortunate.
Do it again.
Bienvenidos al Estadio Azteca en la Ciudad de México. And hello again, everyone. Oh, a very pleasant good afternoon.
Oh, my God. He says, oh, my God. Right in the broadcast.
Wait, I thought you just said that in studio. That was in the clip. That's hilarious.
Oh, my God.
Give me a warning.
Will Joe Buck or Troy Aikman say Patriots? Yes is a plus 200. No, minus 300.
Yes.
I would say yes, because they will at some point
mention. Jimmy Garoppolo spent 4 years with the Patriots.
Yep.
The Chiefs have had to overcome the big bad Patriots.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going with yes.
I think that's the best bet yet.
Patriots. Yes. Plus 200. That might be a good one, too. Will Tom Brady be mentioned in this broadcast? Here's where they think he will be. They say yes, minus 220. No, plus 160. Again, the Garoppolo factor.
Not only that, he will be mentioned because this is the first time in 18 years it's not Manning, Roethlisberger, Brady. Meaning you got new blood, new quarterback.
Could be.
And I think that's how statistically they might throw the graphic up.
When was the last Super Bowl that Buck and Aikman did without Brady? Wasn't it?
That's right. 4 years ago, they did the...
Who was the Arizona Super Bowl against Seattle? Was that them?
NBC.
No, that was Michaels.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Collinsworth. Yeah. So, all right. It was more recent than I thought then.
They did Super Bowl 50, I think. Buck and Aikman. The Denver one.
Okay. So they did not do the Eagles one? Who did the Eagles Super Bowl?
They did the Atlanta Super Bowl. Not in Atlanta, against the Falcons. They did that Super Bowl.
Yes, they did.
Al Michaels did last year's.
So they did Super Bowl 51. They did not do Super Bowl 50. They did 51.
Yeah, they were New York. Tom said New York.
Okay.
It was the time before that. Okay. The other Denver one.
So it's been...
Oh, yeah. Duh.
So New York was the last time. The one that was in MetLife. Okay. Will Joe Buck mention his dad during the broadcast?
I think he's past that.
Yeah, I think so, too. A yes is a minus 150, though, and no is a plus 110.
Tom's got something on this.
Okay, what do you got?
Well, I guess at the end of the AFC Championship game, Jim Nantz shouted out his dad because he did the last Chiefs Super Bowl win. So there's a connection there.
Okay. All right. Well,
you and Nate should do a podcast together. I think it would be the most high-energy podcast.
Who will be mentioned first? Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, or Steve Young?
Montana.
I think so, too. Montana is the favorite, 4-5. Rice is second, 5-4. Young is third, 3-1. Will they mention or show clips or pictures of Andy Reid competing in the punt pass kick contest?
No.
This, I'm so interested in knowing because we've seen that clip so many times now.
It'll definitely be on pregame, but will it be during the game?
They did it during a game last week.
And that was CBS.
Coming back from break.
Yeah. CBS does use it a lot.
God, is he big and fat.
Yes is plus 200. No is minus 300. So I know is the favorite there. Will they refer to Andy Reid as Big Red?
No.
I don't think so either. Yes is plus 300. No.
About
minus 500.
Walrus.
Will they show a clip of the Chiefs in Super Bowl IV? Yes is minus 300. They are banking on that happening.
See, hardly any of this stuff in my memory ends up coming true. You know, you talk about like all the history behind it, all this stuff. It ends up being about the day and about the game, you know? It doesn't end up being about, you know, when they played in Dallas. How many times Jerry Jones going to be shown at, you know, the Super Bowl being held in Dallas? You know, the prop was like 2.5. It's zero. Because Jerry Jones doesn't have anything to do with it, much like the Chiefs in Super Bowl IV don't have anything to do with what's going on. They have so much stuff that they're trying to cram into this broadcast based on Patrick Mahomes and Jimmy Garoppolo and all the stuff, all the current stuff, all the older stuff ends up getting pushed aside. They either don't produce it or they don't use it.
So there's odds on whether or not they show a picture of Joe Montana playing with the Chiefs. There are odds on yes or no. Will they show the picture of Len Dawson smoking a cigarette at the halftime of Super Bowl I?
They won't show a cigarette being smoked.
Will Dan Marino, will a Dan Marino highlight be shown? They're playing in Miami?
No.
No.
The old Joe Robbie is now renovated and called, what is it, Hard Rock now?
Hard Rock Stadium.
It's been through a million different name changes, the stadium.
Nope.
Will they show Mike Shanahan during the broadcast? How many times?
Hard as a rock.
They've got an over-under, 1.5. I'd go with under. I bet they show him once.
Have you seen the new Hard Rock Hotel? Just down the street from there?
No, I have not.
They built it. It's like a freaking guitar, skyscraper guitar.
Yeah, they were doing that in New Orleans and it fell down.
Sweet.
I guess you can see the body now. People are upset about that.
What?
There's one of the bodies still stuck in the rubble. And
Are you serious?
Kidding me.
There was a tarp.
They can't get up there and get it.
There was a tarp covering up like the guy's legs and the tarp blew off and...
Oh,
this was yesterday. There's like photos of the people.
What are you talking about?
Such an awful situation.
That one of the workers that was killed in that building collapse, you can see part of the body now, and they can't get it out. And it's like they don't even want to climb up there and put the tarp back over it.
Zoe's just finding out about
this. Let me play something for you.
Last one? I'm going to give you the last one.
Right.
Will they show highlights of Donovan McNabb throwing up in the Super Bowl?
No.
What would be the point of that?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Andy Reid's last Super Bowl?
Yeah, but they would never show that.
That's quarterback being out of shape, not Andy Reid's
problem. So yes is plus 800, no, minus 2,500. That's weird. That's weird that they would list that separately. What do you got?
Back to the first one about whether or not Joe Buck or Troy Aikman will speak Spanish during the broadcast. They did a commercial on Fox years ago, a promo for these two, where they pretended to be in a Mexican soap opera.
Habla Español, huh?
Ven conmigo esta noche, mi querida.
That's Joe Buck.
She's not going anywhere with you, Jose Macho Venado.
Who is you?
Yeah, that was Aikman.
Hombre de hielo.
It's cringeworthy, for sure.
Aikman sounds like a real cowboy, though.
Yeah.
Bienvenidos al estadio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.